This is the radio ministry where the rubber meets the road, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? We're glad that you've tuned in. If God leads you to invest in spreading the gospel around the world, you can learn more about us. We're on the web at HisWillMinistry.org. You can contact us by emailing to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord as a result of Pastor's teaching and preaching. Here's Pastor Warner.
For many are called, but few are chosen. God has turned their ears, and we can't say, oh, it's just Isaiah. It was Old Testament that their ears were made dull and they won't hear, and their eyes are made dim and they won't see so that they can be saved. Jesus said it in Matthew. Said it in Matthew, and Paul said it to the Jews in Acts. That is why. If you ever get out there and you're thinking, oh man, I shouldn't be telling these people about Jesus because nobody will listen. I shouldn't be witnessing because nobody will listen. It's not your job to make them listen. It's not your job to convict them. It's not your job to take your Bible and whap them across the side of the head hoping some scripture sinks in. God gave us a free choice. Jesus said, what was His calling? He says in Luke, He says, I was not called to the righteous, but to the sinners. That was Jesus' calling. What's yours? What are you supposed to be doing besides showing up in church? I know most of you do a little bit of it, but time's short. We need to do a lot more of it. Let's look in 1 Corinthians. Get an idea here of what you and I are. And see, I'm all part of this too. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Overshot. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is there not of the body. Or if the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? Now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are all many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. How much more of those members of the body which to seem to be feeble are necessary? Those members of the body which we think less honorable, upon these bestow more abundant honor. Our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Each part of you, when you came into this church, became a piece of that puzzle. Each one of you has a job to do. You want the church to succeed? It can't be just one person. One person being your worship leader. It can't be one person getting here early and shoveling the sidewalk. It can't be one person getting out there and digging up the sewers, trying to make them so they work. You each are part of this body. And you each have the same calling. You have the exact same calling. But you can use it differently. Everybody in this building has the same calling to start with. Everyone here has the exact same call on their lives. Everyone here. Scott has it. Shirley has it. Chris has it. Jacob has it. Holly has it. Everybody. It's the same calling that Jesus had. What was Jesus? He was sent to the sinners, wasn't He? Not the righteous. Let's read Romans 8:28. How many can recite it? Since I can't recite the whole thing, I'll read it. I was figuring Scott was going to stand up and start reciting it for me.
Ray didn't want to do that one.
Well, Ray never stands up, so he just hides out in the back. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknowledge, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whosoever whom designate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God has called us. He foreordained us. You know, it's a pretty privileged place to be when you think about the fact that the Bible tells us many of them are called, but few are chosen. You're here right now because you were chosen. What is your calling? It may be to be the bookkeeper. It may be to be the worship leader. It may be to be a part-time pastor. It may be to be a Sunday school teacher. But the one thing that your calling is, and it's told to us over and over and over again in the Bible, is Jesus' own words, Matthew 28:18-20. Go ye. Doesn't say, go Peter. It says, go ye. And it's so important. This calling that you have is so important that God made sure that even though if you study the Gospels, you'll see in the Gospels that many of the stories are not seen in all four Gospels. You'll see that many times a story or an event in Jesus' life that's in John, you won't find anywhere else. Some of them you find in Matthew, you won't find in Luke. But in all four Gospels, in one size, shape, or another, we have Jesus, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's go to Luke. Well, let's go to Mark. Mark's next in line. Mark 16:15. Go ye unto the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name thou shalt cast out devils. Thou shalt speak in new tongues. Thou shalt take up serpents. And if I drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, we got two more to go, but we're going to back up a second. How many of you drank poison lately? Sarah says she has, and it must work because she's still here. How many of you laid hands on someone and had them miraculously healed, had a leg grow back? Ray's got a leg growing back. See, I added that little bit, got Ray. What does it say? Jesus does everything in order. He says, go ye preaching to every creature. Then he tells us what's required. He that believeth and is baptized is saved, that he believeth that is not is damned. Then he gives the perk. These signs shall follow them that believe. Well, if you're not, how can you say, I believe in Jesus as my Savior, I believe Jesus as my Lord, I believe Jesus is my everything, I believe Jesus is my salvation, I believe Jesus is going to return, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, I believe, if we don't tell anybody about what we believe. And if we don't tell anybody about what we believe, don't expect to have signs and wonders follow you. That's the way he laid it out. He didn't say first, these signs shall follow them, and then go preach and tell the world. He said, go ye into all the nation, preaching and teaching, baptizing, and then these signs shall follow you. What's the first book of the New Testament called? Nope. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are in the Old Testament, technically. Because Jesus had not ascended and the church age had not started, even though we put them in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament books. Acts. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. Now, what would have happened on the day of Pentecost if Peter and all of the 120 had tongues come down on them, the fire of the Holy Spirit, and they all just stayed up in the upper room and danced and prayed? Not a darn thing. Zip. You and I wouldn't be here, would we? Zilch. Nothing. See, that's what Jesus wants us. That's your calling. You want to have the gifts? You want to have the power? You want to lay hands on? Get out there and tell people about Him. Get out there and act. Now, when you take that act, that step, that faith, that trust, things are going to happen. I was reviewing my pastor's journal, and in the last 30 days, well, now we're into January, last 45 days, I've seen people's cholesterol healed. I've seen people's knees healed. I've seen a bone healed. I can go on. I've seen miracles starting to happen. Why? Because we're starting to act. But if we don't act, we're going nowhere. Okay, let's go to Luke. We got to get all four of these in here. All right, if I'm going to browbeat you, I got to beat you hard. Luke chapter 24.
Verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and remissions of sin, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in His name among all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. See, here we go again. Christ died, and then it says, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached among the nations. Then He goes down and He says, and behold, I will send you the promise of the Father. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye are endowed with the power on high. Again, He says, get out there and act. And then I will give you. What does He tell us? He says, if we're arrested and brought before the courts, don't worry what we're going to say. What does He say? He says, the Holy Spirit will give you the words you need. But if you never act enough to be arrested, you're never going to have to worry about it, are you? And finally, in John chapter 21, I believe. Yep, 21, 15. John chapter 21, 15. I'm going the wrong way. Here we go. And we always look at this as a rebuke. But God does things in threes. And so when they had dined, Jesus said, Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest me more than these? And he said, yea, Lord, you knowest that I love you. And he said unto them, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And he said unto him again a second time, Simon son of Jonas, love me. And he said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And a third time he said unto him, Simon son of Jonas, lovest me? And Peter was grieved because he had asked him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and they knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. All four Gospels, Jesus tells us what our call is. That we're to feed His sheep. And each one of us has a different way of feeding them. Priscilla's way of reaching that person the other day was that she was brought into temptation with a $100 bill. And she may not have preached Jesus to that person, but when she handed that person a $100 bill and said to her, here, this was in your pants, she preached Jesus to that person. She said, I am a peculiar person. I am a royal priesthood. I am different. Because anyone in the world, well, not anyone, but 90% of the world would have pocketed that $100 bill and not taken a second thought on it. But Priscilla showed her that she was a peculiar person, a different person. And that's our call. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. It's not a pleasant thought, but if we're not willing to go out there and talk to people about Jesus, then we're not willing, He's not willing to talk to God about us. And if you think about it, if you want the power, and you want the Spirit in your life, and you want things to happen in your life, you have to be able to be willing to witness for Jesus. Because if you're not willing to be that witness, you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be an evangelist, you don't have to be a Sunday school teacher like Ray. But if you're not willing to be a witness, will Jesus be a witness to you before God? He makes it pretty plain and clear. He gave us a call to spread His word and to talk about Him. A call to tell people what He's done for us. Today we sat in here, and every one of us almost had some kind of a praise report. Every one of us had something that Jesus had done for us this week. Every one of us had something that we felt was given to us by the Lord. How many people have you told that? Take a look at your week. How many people did you tell? Jesus did this for me this week. Yeah, you told us, because we're friends, we're family. But if you won't tell somebody else, how long before the next time it doesn't happen? Because God didn't go before. Or Jesus didn't go before God. See, we're coming into a time, a spiritual time in this world, not this country, but this world. You just have to look at the Middle East and look at the prophecies being fulfilled. Look at the signs in the skies and other things that are happening. And we know that there's something going to be on the horizon. I don't know what it is for sure. It's something. It may be the Lord's return. It could happen in my life. It could happen in Stephanie's life. But I don't think it's very far. We entered into the third year. In 2001, we entered into the third year, a day is a thousand years in the Lord's eyes. And if we follow the prophecies of Daniel and the other prophets, things are going to happen in that third year. In Daniel, it's the third week. Things will happen. And it's up to you where you want to be. But if I was you, I'd start telling people, besides me and Scott and Shirley and Janelle, I'd start telling people what God did for you this week. It's all He requires. You know, I can send you guys to every kind of witnessing class there is. I can send you to how to share Jesus boldly. I can send you to how to share Jesus without fear. I can send you to how to use the Old Testament scriptures to convict them of their sin. But until there's a drive in here, it don't matter what program. A pastor of mine, friend, he's always upset because what he says is, I just don't understand why we as Christians have to go to seminars to teach us how to pray. We shouldn't have to go to seminars to teach us how to share Jesus. It's not your responsibility to save them. Unless you're called as a pastor, it's not your responsibility to have to save them. It's to sow the seed. To sow that seed. Because you don't know. 10 years from now, if the Lord doesn't return, that seed that you just sowed may be the seed that starts to germinate and brings them to the Lord. Look back in your own life. How many times have you guys ministered to someone? Just out of love. Not because you were trying to preach to them Jesus, but just out of love, you ministered to them. And then all of a sudden you saw that seed become fruit. Something you got to work on this week. I won't be back next week. I'll be back the following week. But think of someone you can bring to church with you. You want this building to fill up. You want this valley saved for Jesus. It isn't going to happen with a pastor. A pastor will lead you. A pastor will help you. But if you're not behind your pastor 100%, nothing will happen. When when Tony and Teresa were here, did this church fill up to overflowing? When the pastor that was here before Tony and Teresa were here, did this church fill up to overflowing? Not that I know of. Now, I'm not placing blame on a pastor or people or anything else. It's teamwork. Paul says we're all one body. And if we don't work as one body, you know, if the hands say to the body, I'm going on strike, we're going to be bending our face down into a plate to eat. If the eyeballs say to the body, I'm not working this week, we're wandering around blind. Well, the brain is the pastor, and if the pastor is the brain, and all of his hands and feet and eyes and ears just say, I don't have anything I got to do this week for the church, then the brain just sits there thinking about good things, doesn't it? It doesn't move anywhere. So you guys each have to move for this whole thing to move. It has to be corporate, just like prayer. You get two or more people together to pray about the same thing, you'll see things happen. You got one person praying, eventually things will happen because they'll supplicate and they'll work their way through. But you get three or more praying constantly about something, you'll see miracles occur. And same thing with the body. If all the hands and all the feet and the eyes and the ears and everything all work together as one with the leader, the pastor, directing, miracles will occur. But it won't work unless you follow your call. Don't let go of the vision. Don't let go of your call. You know, you aren't called necessarily to be a preacher. And pray that you don't be. Four places in the Scriptures it says, as a man of God and as a preacher, if you're given a word and you don't give it to the people, their blood's on your head. So you guys are lucky. All you have to do is tell somebody Jesus loves you. All you have to do is tell them, Jesus gave me an extra $100 this week and here's why. The pastor has to preach the word. If he doesn't preach the right word, he's going to stand in hell. It's very plain and clear, the blood of every single soul he doesn't preach the correct word to is on his head. It's a much harder call. It's not any specialer of a call. It's a harder call. There is no special call. You lay hands on somebody and heal them. If that person saw you, you did it for the wrong reason. If I get up here and give you the word that God gives me to give you and you see me, that's the wrong reason. We are here to serve Jesus Christ. Whether it's in healing, whether it's in love, whether it's an offering, whether it's in telling someone, it doesn't matter. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. I can't get that enough to anybody. It is not you. You need to cease to exist and Jesus to live. And at that point, things will happen in your life like you've never seen before. You know, it's like Mary and I. There's still a lot of Jay here and a lot of Mary. But it takes a lot of Jesus to go from having seven guys working full-time for you with a payroll in the $30,000s and $40,000 every 2 weeks to nothing. There's got to be some Jesus somewhere. If there ain't, this old boy is going to have a nervous breakdown, a heart attack, and be in a mental institution. Because the bills don't stop. They're still there. But the income did. But if Jesus is there, you don't care. Because nothing that man can do to you can hurt you. No matter what happens, you lose everything, you don't care. Because Jesus is there. And as long as He's glorified, if you have to lose every single thing you own, and in the end Jesus is glorified, it's worth it. You're going to spend eternity in heaven. This is a blink of an eye. In God's world, your existence doesn't even qualify for an hour. Think about it. A day is 1,000 years. Well, if a day is 1,000 years in our time span, that means in a 24-hour day, you've got 50 years almost to a 24-hour day. So you barely even make an hour in your lifetime in God's grand scheme of things. See how insignificant that makes our lives and our problems seem? Because you and I are going to be up there. But when we're up there, it's forever. Forever. Don't get caught. Whatever you do, don't get caught in that realm that he says. Go ye and worship that one you worshiped. Because you didn't feed me. You didn't clothe me. You didn't care for me. You didn't see me in prison. You didn't heal me. Don't get caught there. Let them see Jesus.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.